Goedemorgen, good morning everyone. If I could just preach like John could share, then we would be chuff chuff, straight to the point, done and dusted. But I can't, so I'm going to first start with a story. ek het sommer gedink aan daai liedjie there, that song in the beginning, it is well with my soul, my eyes are fixed on him through it all. And I guess many of us over here that, you know, the serious Kobokkeveld, Achter Witsenberg, we've been going through a bit of storms. And we were talking outside there of water, and ons is maar bietjie bang vir water. And I grew up around the water, not so much inside the water, but around the water. My father is an avid sailor, very successful sailor. And as a youngster, we would always find ourselves at a large dam or at the sea, and he would enter all these regattas and these competitions, and he did very well, South African champion and all the rest. But much later, he didn't do it competitively, but he still loved being on the water, and they moved to New Zealand, and I went to go visit. And my dad is also a very practical guy, so he likes projects, and he decided, now he's going to get this boat. Old donk van a boat, hy is 12 stikkend, and he's going to get this and he's going to redo it and he's going to make it beautiful. But we had to go and collect it at a bay and then sail it around another bay into where the bay where he needs to park it, because it's one of these large boats with a massive, what they call a keel, that big heavy thing underneath, so the boat doesn't tip over, so you can't just go and put it on a trailer and oh, gat jy. And he said, let's go collect it. And we went, and I looked at this boat, and I thought, we need to sail this thing around that bay in there. And obviously, he's checking the weather and all the winds and the this and the that. He said, yeah, man, it's going to be okay. And we got into the boat. Obviously, there where you're docked, you need to start the engine before you put out the sails, just rustig. And we started that engine, and I had no confidence in that engine whatsoever. But anyways, we went out, and it plucked it along, and we got into the open waters where we put up the sails, and we got around the first bay. Now it was I don't know how many hour journey. It wasn't just around the bay, it was a bit of a distance. And all of a sudden, this massive storm of this gust or this, yeah, this storm popped up out of the ocean there. And obviously, weather patterns there in the ocean is very different to on the land. And as we were sailing, and I remember it so clearly, we were out, and it was far. The land was, we could see the land, but it was far. And the wind started coming up, and that boat started tipping. And it tips. But that keel, obviously, I kind of know this. I've been brought up with boats, so I know it's going to be okay. Somehow I know it's going to be okay. But yeah, I was nervous. And every now and then, the boat tips, and you're okay. But then every now and then, a gust. They call it a gust. This massive pocket of wind comes through, and it blows that boat to what I thought was a tornado and not a gust. And immediately, as we were sailing, I remember, you know, you sail and you go and you're holding the ropes and you're making sure that the sail is tight. And when this gust came for the first time, it was this immediate response within me where, as I was sitting there freaking out, panicking, not sure what to do, my immediate response was to immediately look back to my father, who was the skipper. He's the skipper, the guy that's holding that thing and making sure that the big sail is doing what it should do. And that was my immediate response. And as I looked back to him, there was this immediate confidence or assurance or peace of it's going to be okay. Because he was sitting there absolutely certain. This is okay. Yeah, I doing that. Does he like any? But it's okay. Everything is going to be okay. And he didn't say a word to me. I just saw it on his face. And as a result of what I saw in his face, I had peace. And I still had to work hard. Didn't mean that I could just let go of the ropes and lack a suntan on the boat while we were going through a storm. I still had to work hard. I still need to make sure that I grip tight, that I was doing what I needed to do, but my assurance didn't lie in what I needed to do. It lied in the one who knew. And it just reminded me of the song, and we might refer back to this today, this little story of in the storms, these gusts that come through, these challenges that happen. What is our first response? Is it immediately turning back? And somehow in the midst of seeking his face through it all, do we have peace? Do we have confidence that we can get through this, whatever it may be? And Matt Daisel, that's a lady that shared at the conference, she talked about storms, and we're still on this theme where we are touching on what was spoken there at the conference. We're trying to bring it in and so that we can just stay in unity as a larger body. And this session today, or this sermon, or this is in line with what she shared, and she shared about storms. And I think she's got no cooking clue what us as a valley have been going through, but it's pretty incredible what she shared. And if you didn't watch it, go watch it. She gave a bunch of stats, a bunch of information that I'm not going to share yet, simply as a result of time. And but you know, we as a valley have been going through some hectic stuff, things that you have got no control of it. Now, when was it? 2-3 days ago, I shared just quickly with them that there on the farm, this massive storm rolled through, and I was busy sitting on the couch, doing what I was doing, and Lisa out the office, she shouted, "Hey, make sure that trampoline is okay. Make sure it's ice fuss." And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to do it now, man." Ja, manne, as jou vrou sê, gaan doen dit, doen it now. I'm going to do it now, man. And as I waited a couple of minutes, thinking I'm just going to do it now, daar gaat hy. Trampoline over the field. So where we're staying, there's this massive field in front of us, and there goes the trampoline, and I'm up, and I'm shouting, Lisa, jy moet kom help. Nou moet sy nou kom help. No. And ons is uit die deur uit, and we're out the door, and we're running. And this wind, and this trampoline is nearly at the road, and we got the trampoline, and we're dragging it together. But now, in that time, from, you see the storm is coming, and it's mighty blaremark there, to all of a sudden, this massive gust, or tornado-like feeling wind, started rolling through there, and we're dragging this trampoline back, and I'm trying to get it to a corner, and finally we get it there. And the buggy, we had a small little buggy, and I said, I'm going to climb in the buggy and just park the buggy just closer to this, so it's kind of trapped here. It's not going to go again, because we're not going to do anything with this trailer. We need to get inside. And I climbed in the buggy, and it's under this massive, beautiful oak tree, and I started reversing, and all of a sudden, this massive branch on the buggy. Now, she's freaking out, because you can't really see inside there what happened. And I was saying, I'm okay, don't worry, but just go inside. Because all of a sudden, this storm just got wild. The hail came, you know, you're helpless, really. You can't really do much. And I climbed out the buggy and I went inside. And Noah, our oldest boy, his eyes is like this, looking outside the window. And I comforted him a bit. He was a bit, yeah, he was a bit discouraged, and he asked me, the first question that he asked me, he said, Papa, why would Jesus do something like that? And I said, I don't know. If we look back in the Bible, he did it because of this at that time, and he did it then for that, but I don't know. And he said, oh, he's stark, he's really strong. And one of the stories that we looked at was, sometimes he brought the storm was to bring us closer to himself, and he said to me, I'm praying much more these days, Papa. And there was obviously this incredible, beautiful, respectful fear towards God, seeing him in his majesty, that we are very small. And he saw that. He's like, oh, we cannot play. We cannot. And anyways, beautiful. So this Matt Daisel, she talked about storms. She doesn't have a cooking clue what we're going through as a valley. But I think there's a few relevant points that we can bring out here. And she connected storms with mental health. When we go through storms, the battle that starts going in our head, the mind game. And she talked a lot about mental health and connected with storms that we go through. And very interesting. And she talked about, obviously, the results and the effect of storms, and we see that, we experience it practically with a storm rolling through, trees is broken, buckies is stickened, fruit is damaged. There's a bunch of results, but there's also at times there's water in dams. So the result is always, you never know. For some, it's devastating. For others, it's new life. And so what I said to Noah, I said, I don't know why. I cannot give you a clear-cut answer why God would do something or allow something like this. I don't know. Because I've just realized through the storm that I am this big. And now for me to try to say I'm bigger than it's... Anyway, so she talked about that. So just going back, so a little bit on storms, but going back to the mental health, she's talking about depression, anxiety, insomnia, disruptive behavior, schizophrenia, all these kind of things, amongst other issues, which at most times, not all, at most times is triggered by something and not dealt with, over time becomes a pattern and a lifestyle. So hopelessness, something happens where there's a bit of hopelessness, and if it's not dealt with in that moment, and that hopelessness or that thought pattern or the way that we think around this challenging storm, because the physical effects is there, but when a storm comes through, there's this battle that starts happening. Why? Why would this happen? Why did this happen to me? Or what's going on here? And this battle starts. And if it's not dealt with, it becomes this pattern of lifestyle. And as I said, it's not always the case. So as we go through this, I want to encourage you to listen in two ways. The first way, is it relevant to me? Is there some way that I need to deal with this? And the second way is, how can I help someone in this? Because we are sitting in a world today where mental health is a topic that's on top of the list. People are talking about it all over, mental health, the way that we think, this battle that goes on in our mind. And it's a topic all over the world at the moment that's high. And I'm going to give you a bit of stats, and it might make a bit of sense. But it's a very popular topic. And these stats were given pre-COVID. So they assume that it's probably higher now as a result of the pandemic and all the things that people went through. So again, listen in two ways. Is it relevant for me? Or secondly, how can I help someone that is going through this? So some stats, 1 in 3 at some point, so 1 in 3 people at some point will be struggling with mental issues. So the nice thing about that is that we are not alone. 1 in 3 at some point, one of these mental issues, whether it's depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, sleep disorder, stress that continues over time, 1 in 3 is struggling with that. Out of those people that is struggling with that, 1 of 4 of them is seeing a qualified professional, or should be seeing, sorry. So 1 of 4 of those people, I had to also, when I listened to the sermon, I kind of thought, yes, I need to keep here with the stats. So the people that is struggling with mental issues, 1 of 4 of them should be seeing professional help. And those people that should be seeing professional help, 1 out of 10 can afford it within our country at the moment. And so what happens when you're battling with depression or anxiety or some sort of mental issue, mental health issue? You cannot do anything about it because it's just not possible. Or that's the norm, what people think, because there's not enough resources to deal with this issue, to get through this. So just a bit of practical numbers, if there's 60 million people in South Africa, 20 million are going to go through some sort of issue sometime or another. Of that 20 million, 5 million should seek professional help. But only 500,000 of those 5 million is possible to do that. And this is what Matt Daisel, she is a professional counselor, called and gifted to address these issues, to talk people through it, to train people up. And it's super interesting. So, normally what happens with these people that should be seeing professional help, they don't because it's not possible. What happens? Disastrous patterns develop, lifestyles develop, children brought up into that, and it's a big game of Satan at the end of the day to destruct and just to mess things up. It's the destructive pattern that we are seeing over and over and over. Not because it's abnormal, because these things is completely normal. Because it's not dealt with. And that's the thing where the church at the moment, they've done research where the church at the moment is in an incredible position to serve this need. to serve people that is going through battles, challenges, storms, that develops into mental health issues. Because it starts with something, and over time it develops into something else. And they've realized that the church at the moment is in an incredible position to serve that need. And she's got all these stats. She's large in the counseling industry throughout the South Africa. And I'm going to get to four areas how these issues can be addressed. But before I do that, she kind of did a survey of who is coming for counseling, or who is coming with these mental health issues and desiring to work through it. And they came to a point where they realized 50% of these people were from the local church, that were coming to the local church with these issues. 40% of the people were people from outside churches, so part of a body, but possibly that part of the body wasn't addressing this issue or helping or serving in this area. And then 10% was from unchurched people, people that were not part of a congregation or a body. And she got thinking, but listen, something is wrong here. And she said, why is 40% of other churches coming here? It's not necessary. And so they went on a mission over years to train other churches in this area where the church can serve people that is going through these issues. And after doing that, over time, after training certain congregations with this, the stats changed. 40% became of their own church now. 10% was outside churches because that need was being served within their local congregation. And all of a sudden, 40% or 50% with no church or not part of a congregation started coming in and becoming part of something that they were never part of before. And so this issue or this area of need within this world is an incredible tool to serve others. And I realize it starts with one thing amongst us, and they call it an unmasked culture. Take off our mask. And this will make sense because they realize that, and I say they, these I'm going on stats and professionals that has been dealing with this over and over and over and over for years. And I'll get to a different point now, but I just want to paint a bit of a picture, a bit of a platform of this. And there was four areas that all mental health issues is sorted out and worked through. Now, it's very important to mention that it's worked through, not just dealt with. Because often in this world today, mental health issues is just kind of dealt with. This is how you cope with this. This is and throughout the word it says, this is how you get through it. And there is at some point, there needs to get a through. And there's four areas that all these issues, and actually all issues in life, to be honest with you, but for the sake of the topic, let's stick to mental health issues. Four areas. The first one was self-care. The second, community care. The third, pastoral care. So in a congregational setup, the people that's in a caring position. And then the fourth one is obviously professional care. Someone that has gone through the studies, understands the brain, and all these psychological patterns that people go through. That is quite normal. And this four areas is identified through the word. One of them is when Moses was leading the people through the desert, and he was battling with these lots of people with lots of issues and lots of storms that they were facing as individuals, challenging things that's happening in their life. And they were coming with all these challenges to Moses, and he was dealing with a lot of stuff. And Jethro, his father-in-law, said, listen, Moses, you cannot carry on like this. It's just too much. And he said, I think this is wisdom from the Lord, but if it is, make sure and then apply it. And he said, you need to teach them what they need to do. Teach them the law and help them and make sure that they apply it. Number one, self-care. Number two, make sure you get a bunch of trustworthy leaders that is not corrupt and don't want anything for their own gain, but want to serve. Appoint them over hundreds, tens, small groups of people and let them deal with these other issues. That's community care, small groups of people coming together. And then thirdly, if there's issues that is not dealt with in those two areas, then they can come to you. They can come to you or the professional care, the one that's in charge, the one that's gone through it. And so this pattern, you see it throughout the Word. There's also in Matthew 18, you see it there. And then they took these four areas and they found out, what is the percentage of these areas? How many people is going through these areas and how many people is getting served or how many of these issues is getting dealt with in these areas? And they found that self-care, 53% of all issues that arises, challenges, mind battles, depression, anxiety, most of 53% of these issues is dealt with as a result of self-care. 33% of these issues is dealt with as a result of community care. That is 86% of all mental health issues is dealt with in self-care and community care. 13% of that was dealt with in pastoral care and only 3% in professional care. And this is what's happening in an ideal, but it's not happening around. For some reason, many think, I need to get that 3% and it's not possible. I'm one of that 3% and it's not the case. So, just a couple of things. Self-care. And I want to focus actually on just this too, simply as a result of time. And I want to stick to John's example. We don't want to drag things out unnecessarily. I want to focus on these two, self-care and community care. Because if that's 86% of all issues within our heads, that develops into our hearts, that develops into our lifestyle, that develops into our generations that come, then it's incredibly crucial that we look at these two areas. And self-care is not pampering yourself, going for nails and focusing on yourself and getting bigger muscles or whatever. I'm not saying this stuff is bad, but I need to make sure that self-care is not just pampering yourself so that you can feel better. Self-care is doing anything that is enabling you to seek His face, the captain, whatever it may be. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the challenges, self-care is doing something that I can do myself in order for me to see and experience and know Him, to get courage from Him, to get wisdom from Him, to get practical things that I need to do in the midst of this storm, practical things that I need to do from Him. That is self-care. That is quiet time. That is going out in the mountains and seeking His face. That is prayer. That is reading His word and seeing, who is this captain in the midst of the storm? Because I don't get him and I don't understand. And if I don't do anything, then I will not understand and I will not see him. So self-care is doing it myself in order that I can see him. Not just be pampered and better off, because you're going to be worse off. That's what happens. Self-care for me also, there's a few things that self-care for me is also... is possibly, I don't know about you, but maybe it's for me, and maybe I'm not right here, but normally when I'm in the midst of a storm, a challenge, a thing that I'm going through, and it becomes a battle, why is this, or what's going on? One of the greatest things for me is to somehow serve someone else. And that doesn't sound like self-care. I mean, maybe it's not. I'm not sure. Maybe that's part of community care. Nah. Anyway, so self-care is not looking after yourself, pampering yourself, focusing on me, myself, and I, because when you do that, you'll just realize that you're in a deeper pit. You need to look to the captain, the one who knows the winds, the one who knows the storm, understands that keel, understands everything about this boat in the midst of a storm. Community care is most of the time got to do, and this is what I've experienced, I think it's got most of the time to do with all of a sudden you get fresh perspective. But community care is not trying to solve that person's problem. Because that's what often happens. Someone comes and they come to the cell group and they're really struggling with this, whatever it is. Oh, and we are so quick to want to give solutions and answers. And it comes out of a good place. It's great. But community care is not necessarily only that. Somehow community care is somehow taking and helping and encouraging that person to do what? To look to the captain. Because often what happens in community and pastoral care is that that person, you run to him all the time. And you become dependent on this community care, which is great. We need it. The dependency on that is, I need your help because I don't see my captain in the midst of this. Pray with me. Talk me through it. Help me with scripture. Whatever it is, ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom in the midst of community care so that you can do one thing, is help an individual to see him. Nothing else. Really straightforward. And there's a scripture that we're going to read later, and it's really, really straightforward. If I have to look back on my time with the Lord, walking with him, the only times that I've got through a storm is where I've had a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. And that most of the time came out of community care and self-care. 86% of the time, to give you the stats precisely. And there is situations I'm not getting through this. Then, okay, go seek pastoral care or professional care. That's fine. And I think in this world today, if I have to tell my mom or a friend or someone that's close to me, I've got mental health issues, they're going to look at me and think, what's going on with this guy? And we see it as this hectic. No, you just get to keep it to yourself. Just don't share this with anyone. Because there's the shame that's connected most of the time with this. There's two things that they've brought out to the surface of why people don't seek help or don't desire to bring this to the surface in a community is because there's shame connected and because there's this constant measuring against what I see. And in our valley, what we are seeing is very successful. It's beautiful. Everything is important. Not everything, but many things are in place. We're looking at social media and everyone's just smile and happy and everything is just pick fine. And so as a result of this measurement, you say, no, I can't bring out this issue. It's dark. I don't want to bring this to the surface because what are they going to think? And as a result of that, they don't bring it to the surface. But physical health, straightforward. You've got a sore throat. I've got a sore throat. Yeah, you need to take that, man. Take that paliki of the iodine of what the cult is. Physical health is kind of so, we're not shameful about that necessarily, but there's something in mental health that is a reality within our everyday, with myself or people around us, that it's okay, but there's ways to get through it. And more stats, just the last stats, can never say it. I try so often. I tried it now and I can't say it. And but they, throughout these issues, they realized from the first symptom to seeking treatment, the average is 11 years. And that's a stat. It's research that has been done over time with many people that have been going through these issues. 11 years. What has developed over 11 years? A lifestyle. Do you know how incredibly difficult it is to break a lifestyle of 11 years of hopelessness or sleep disorder or the other one was eating habits. 11 years. And it's simply as a result of when these things, these storms enter our life and we are either in some place battling with it here and over time leave it and then shameful or not, we don't want to share it, we don't want to put it in the light, we don't want to bring it onto the table. Over time, it becomes a lifestyle. And over time, it becomes generations. And over time, we have a world that looks like it looks. And it's disastrous. And if 86% of these issues can be dealt with self-care, community care, it will be a different place. And I must be honest, one of the things that we need to know with this is that when I have someone that is going through something, whether it's depression, anxiety, sleeping disorders, whatever it is, the heart behind it or the motive behind it must not be, shame, I just really want this person to be okay. And that's what we do want. But to have a Christ-centered perspective, which is going to enable a lot more fruit, is going to be, yo, if this person can be free and come through this as a member of the body, and me as a member of the body, we will be able to function for the kingdom, for the captain. And if we are able to function fully as members without these battles and these struggles that we are going through, we'd be able to function as children of God, where His kingdom will come and His will be done. So that He will be coming on this big, beautiful white cloud that they talk about, because this is what we desire. And so maybe when our motive is, and there is heart, that you want your friend to be free. You know that it's a bondage that people go through. It's really a real thing, and it's tough to break. It's not just it's really tough. But I think to have a Christ-centered perspective as this is another member in the kingdom. We need to become free so that we can function. And when we function, then there is true freedom. And so the aim of any sort of counsel, and I really encourage you to go watch that thing on YouTube, because she's giving a lot of details there. But the aim of any sort of counsel is never to become the answer. Is never to try give all the solutions. Although God often gives practical wisdom and He works through His body and He does that, and it's incredible. But let us be a body, let us be a church, a people, that in the midst of that wisdom that we'll gain the skill and ask the Holy Spirit to help us, that whatever we do, say, how we are, that will somehow direct to the captain. Nothing else. And if you look out through the whole word, that is the underlying pattern, that golden thread through all his people, going through whatever they went through. At the end of the day, what was their response? Oh, we see you. And as a result of that, they got through. So when we are sitting in a position like this, and it's self-care, make sure self-care directs to Him. When you are sitting with someone in front of you, or in a cell group, or some sort of community, and these things come to the table, ask the Holy Spirit, help me to direct him or her to the captain. Oh, it's all that we need. And so may we somehow develop this beautiful gift. And I say develop. This is what the Holy Spirit wants. If we allow Him to have His way, we will definitely lead and guide people in the midst of this storm to the captain, where as a result of that, they will have peace. They will know how to hold that. Bring in the sail. Do that. There will be a bunch of practical stuff that comes with it. And there's hard work that we need to do as well. We cannot just let the ropes go and suntan there on the boat. Doesn't work like that. We've got responsibilities. And I just want to read this Psalm 18. If you want to open, but you don't have to. I'm just going to read a few. Because it's a very long psalm, but I want to bring you David's heart. Because if there's one guy that went through many challenges, was David. And you read through his psalms that he had this. He had mental health issues. He battled with issues. But he worked through them. And you read throughout the whole word that there was many people that battled with issues. Anxiety, fear, stress, sleeping disorders, behavior problems. And Psalm 18 begins like this. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He reached down from on high, and he took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To the blameless, you show yourself blameless. To the pure, you show yourself pure. But to the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble. Bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against anything. With my troop, with my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights, and he trains me for battle. My arms can bend a bow and bronze. David experienced this constantly. But you see the fruit in David's life as a result of, you are the only one. I cannot get through this without you. And so may we be a people that direct, reveal, share, pray for, that we ourselves, but those around us, our community, may see him. May experience this and speak it like David spoke. And there's so many psalms here that say the same thing. And it's just constantly his people on the captain. And as a result of eyes on the captain, a response. Bring it in. Do what you need to do. Help that. Pray this. Whatever it may be, there's always a practical response as a result of my faith in him. Always. And may we be that people. May we be that people. There's that scripture in John 14 that says, there's troubles in this world, but do not fear, I have overcome. So the reality is that we get these storms. These challenges do come our way, whether it's family loss, farm issues, practical, but physical storms, whatever it may be, there's challenges that is in this world. And if we lose hope in the midst of these challenges, it's okay. It's not abnormal. But in the midst of losing hope, seek him. Self-care. Immediately. Go to a community. Your community. Bring it on the table. Bring it on the light. I'm struggling with this. This is what's happened. And I'm battling with this. I don't understand why. Because if you don't, 11 years later, develops a lifestyle of depression that cannot be overcome, that you cannot go through. Because the through is the high, it's we need to get through. And so let us develop this habit of, I'm going through something, I'm battling with it, let me take off my mask, let me put this in the light with those that I care for. And self-care, don't neglect, just do it. Spend time in the mountain, or whatever it is for you, that enables you to see him. Nothing less. Nothing more. So may God help us with this. And let us be a community that cares. And let us be aware and not see it as an abnormal thing that someone is going through mental health issues. But let us trust God to help them to see him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our captain. Thank you for rescuing us, for bringing us out of dark pits, for saving us out of this dark pit of hell, Lord. And Lord, I pray for all of us this morning that we will that we'll have this grace that will help us and enable us to seek your face, to see you through it all and say, it is well with my soul. Help us to develop this habit, this lifestyle in the midst of every challenge, is to have an immediate reaction and turn to you. Not turn to worldly solutions, plans, but to turn to you and seek you. Because we know when turning to you, Lord, in the midst of these storms, in the midst of these challenges, there is peace. And sometimes you quiet in the storm, but sometimes we just need to get through it. But we know that we cannot get through these storms without you. And so help us and enable us to constantly seek you. And when there's the community around us, help us to direct, Lord. Help us to direct every individual, not to ourselves with good answers, but to see you in a fresh way. To see your heart, your character, your desires, your plan, your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name that we will develop this in our hearts, Lord, and that we will allow the Holy Spirit to have his way, because we know this is what you want. So I pray as we head on out here, that we'll become practical with your word, and that we'll be able to say what David said in the midst of his challenges. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge in. I pray that this will be the case for us. I thank you so much, Lord, for the finished work of the cross, that you've enabled us to come close to you. It wasn't by good works. It was simply because of what you have done. And we thank you for that, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.